Welcome to Code WAC, your podcast on America's broken healthcare system and how Medicare for All could help. I'm your host, Brenda Gazar. What are the chances that the legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act, now before the U.S. Supreme Court, will succeed? I recently interviewed Scott Nelson, an attorney at Public Citizens Litigation Group, to find out. Welcome to Code WAC, Scott.
Thank you.
So what do you see as the best and the worst possible outcome of the Supreme Court's decision?
Well, the worst possible outcome would be for Texas's argument to be accepted. For the court to say, first, when you zero out the individual mandate, that's the requirement in the law that everybody has to buy health insurance. You've not just rendered the mandate, you know, meaningless. You've rendered it somehow a violation of the Constitution, that it violates the Constitution to have this provision on the books that really doesn't have any meaning or effect. That's sort of an extraordinary position to begin with, because ordinarily when something is unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional because it has some effect that hurts somebody in a way that the Constitution prohibits. And when a law like the individual mandate doesn't affect anybody, it's really kind of bizarre to say that it's unconstitutional. But so the Supreme Court would have to say that, and then they would have to say, and everything else in this 1,000-page statute goes with it. And the result of that would be, now insurance companies can discriminate against you if you had pre-existing condition, and somebody could say to me, oh, we'll sell you insurance, but the one thing that you really need it for, we won't cover. So that would be one consequence. The argument is everything that was in that statute would have to go. That would be a disaster.
Right. So how likely is that to happen?
Fortunately, I actually don't think it's going to happen, because I think the best case is that the court will say, even if we bought the argument that this individual mandate, now that the tax penalty is zero, somehow is unconstitutional, we don't throw out the rest of the statute, because there's this long established principle in American constitutional law that says when a court finds one provision of a statute unconstitutional, it has to say, all right, now that we've found that unconstitutional, what would Congress want us to do when we found that unconstitutional? Is that provision so central to the statute that if that got tossed out the window, Congress wouldn't want anything else in the statute? In that case, the courts say it's not severable. The whole thing has to go. But that's quite unusual. What the norm is that other provisions of the statute are not affected by the unconstitutionality of a single provision. Sometimes the court has to say, well, we don't really know. Congress hasn't told us what to do if we strike down one provision of a statute. So we have to think about, you know, what do we think Congress would have done? What makes sense? But this is a case where Congress actually told them exactly what it wanted, because it itself effectively severed the individual mandate from the rest of the statute when it said, you know, we don't want there to be a tax penalty anymore. We don't want the individual mandate to be enforceable in any way. But we don't want the rest of the statute to be affected. So all they did was zero out the individual mandate. They left the rest of it in place. For the court to now say, we're going to take it upon ourselves to toss that out, would be the court basically stepping into the shoes of being a legislature. And they have said repeatedly, that's not their job.
Great. So why does Public Citizens support Medicare for All?
Well, you know, our view is that the Affordable Care Act still involves people getting their health care through the mediation of insurance companies whose goal is to make a profit, and making a profit is not always the same as operating in the best interest of the public. Our view is there really isn't a lot of efficiency to be gained by having profit-making entities standing between Americans and their health care. And we know that government-operated programs can deliver health care to people. They can make sure that doctors get paid for their services, but they do it in a way that doesn't put people at the mercy of the premiums and the terms of coverage and the deductibles and the gaps in coverage that still exist under the ACA. How do we know that? because there are two extremely successful programs, Medicare and Medicaid, that do that for millions of people right now. And our goal is to make that universal, to make those programs better, because Medicare itself has some gaps and some requirements that people go out of pocket that we don't think are necessary. But we think that the government could handle the financing of a health insurance program that would be cheaper and would get people better coverage than the system that we now have.
Thank you, Scott. Find more Code WAC episodes on progressivevoices.com and on the PV app. You can also subscribe to Code WAC wherever you find your podcasts. This podcast is powered by Heal California, uplifting the voices of those fighting for healthcare reform around the country. I'm Brenda Gazar.